One book of the Bible reminds us that life is short and we should make the most of every moment. Hi, I'm Rob West. If you guessed Ecclesiastes, you're right. This book emphasizes that our time here is fleeting, but what lies beyond is eternal. Today, I'll explore this profound truth as we introduce a new Faith-Fi study on the book of Ecclesiastes. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, as we dive into Ecclesiastes, we'll discover a recurring theme that challenges us to think deeply about life's purpose. Let me give you a powerful illustration. Mount Everest is the highest mountain on Earth, rising to over 29,000 feet, or nearly the cruising height of a modern jet. Anyone standing at the top is higher than every other person alive on the face of our planet. The allure of the climb attracts many climbers every year, but the trip is, of course, dangerous, expensive, and lengthy. No summit attempt was ever successful until the 1950s. Life-giving air is notably absent. At 26,000 feet, climbers are said to enter the death zone. Above, there is simply not enough oxygen to sustain human life, no matter how well-trained the climber may be. Oxygen bottles are typically required to survive long enough to summit and return. For the final stage, the climber's body is fighting for life and will lose that fight if enough time passes at such extreme altitudes. They generally have just 5 minutes, or 300 seconds. So how do you think a climber ought to spend that precious 5 minutes? Well, you can imagine one climber complaining about their injured ankle, which still hurts, then mentioning that they hate this thin air. Another wiser climber faces the situation differently. They praise God for the beauty of creation and the rare chance to conquer something so huge. Which climber spent their moment the right way? Well, Ecclesiastes teaches us that your life is like having 5 minutes on the summit. You just got here, and you aren't going to be here long. Many have come before you and many will come after, but right now, you're here. Sometimes your brief stay is blessed with sunshine and calm. Other times, you'll face icy wind and cloud cover. Sometimes you're able to cherish the moment. Other times, conditions don't allow for it. You might feel great, or you may be nursing an aching injury. But in any case, you're alive. You're on the summit for 5 precious minutes, and you get this one chance to live. You don't get any do-overs. Ecclesiastes reminds us to embrace every single moment we're given. Very soon, the expedition leader, God, is going to tap each of us on the shoulder and say, "I know you might want to stay here longer, but it's time to leave now." Ecclesiastes reaches out to grab our face with two hands, looks us in the eye, and urgently implores, "My friend, you have just 5 minutes. Stop wasting time. Stop being distracted by what doesn't matter. Take it all in. Fear God. Love others. Enjoy this moment." In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon writes in verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" And picking up at verse 6, "Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "all is vanity." Ecclesiastes asks us to think about death honestly and carefully. Surprisingly, though, we are to remember death so that we can be more joyful in life. If I know I have to leave the summit soon, I'm going to treasure every moment. If I know death is coming, I'll be thankful to be alive. The book continually reminds us that we will age, decline, and die. In fact, death is mentioned in 11 out of its 12 chapters. Have you ever considered that? If you haven't already, you will one day face the challenges of aging and dying. Ecclesiastes reminds us of this with colorful, creative metaphors in the poem found in chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. It describes with humor and realism how our bodies decline in their function as we approach the end of our time on earth. The goal of this focus on our future decline is not to make us feel depressed, but rather to help us realize that today is a gift, If you're alive and hearing these words, you are still enjoying your 5 minutes on the summit. Well, we've only scratched the surface here of the new FaithFi study, Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 lessons from Ecclesiastes on money, which will be released next month. You can learn more at faithfi.com. Just click shop. That's faithfi.com. Click shop. Back with more after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Well, it's the day after the big game. Did your team win? Or did you watch the game? Some only watch to see the commercials. But the interesting thing sometimes is what the players say after the game. Some of them take the time to thank the Lord following either win or loss. And the cameras don't always show it, but in almost every game, Christian players will gather on the field to pray when it's all done. It reminds me of what Christ says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And may their witness on the field motivate us to let our light shine as well. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today at getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Feeling trapped by life's circumstances? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares how having a purpose bigger than yourself can transform your difficult circumstances and how true humility can revolutionize your relationships. Join us as we explore practical biblical wisdom for living above your circumstances and experiencing genuine joy. That's all this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. I hope to take your calls and questions here in just a moment, but first in the news today, you may want to get a head start on filing your income taxes this year, especially if you work with a tax professional. Fortune magazine is reporting that there's a serious shortage of accountants and related professionals in the job market these days. With baby boomer retirements coming in waves the last few years, more than 300,000 accountants have left their jobs, and too few young people are going into those professions to make up for the financial brain drain. Analysts say that many tax professionals are already turning away clients because they simply have too much work. This became an issue last year. A year ago, one major tax firm was offering high school students, listen to this, internships at $22 an hour. They were hoping to entice them into choosing a tax preparation career path. Well, the word is individual taxpayers and small businesses need to make an appointment early to meet with their CPA or tax professional. Waiting could make it necessary to file for an extension. And of course, the later you file, the longer you'll have to wait for a refund. By the way, if you do file that extension, there is an extension on filing. There is no extension on payment. So be sure to get that payment, even if it's only estimated, into the IRS by April 15th to avoid any kind of interest or penalties. But hopefully they'll work through it. And hey, what a great career opportunity if you're an aspiring future adult worker here in the United States with some acumen for numbers. Maybe there's an opportunity for you as an accountant. All right. As we think about managing God's money here on this program each day, our hope, our prayer is that we'd be an encouragement to you, making finances approachable, but also making the connection from finances, the daily money management decisions that we make, over to our faith. Because here's what I've experienced in my life is that, you know, the financial journey we're on is one of the key ways God shapes our spiritual journey. Reason being, it's really that tangible daily expression of what we value and where we've placed our trust, where our hope and trust lies. Our money decisions really are the clearest evidence of that. In fact, the late Larry Burkett, many of you know that name from years gone by. Larry passed away in 2003, but in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s for sure, Larry really popularized biblical financial wisdom. He really brought to bear for God's people the intersection of timeless wisdom in Scripture and modern personal finance and bringing those two things together. And Larry taught us in his own way, which was kind and approachable, but very wise and rooted in biblical truth, that there was a connection between our faith and our money, and that as we maintain an eternal perspective and hold God's money loosely and revere His word and apply those principles to our finances, well, it's a game changer. And so each day we want to encourage you to that end as we tackle your questions and bring God's wisdom to bear in light of those very specific decisions you're making. We receive those questions all kinds of ways. You call in, but you also email in. And I'd love to tackle a couple of these emails now. This one comes from Nancy. She writes, I'm 78. I have about $50,000 that I'd like to invest conservatively. Can you tell me some ways that I could get started with this? Here's what I would say, Nancy. If you don't mind a little hands-on work occasionally, probably the best way to do it might be to begin with laddering some CDs. So a certificate of deposit would be a bank product where you have hopefully FDIC insurance, meaning it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. You can get some fairly attractive interest rates these days, better than we've gotten, you know, in the decades prior. So for CDs right now, we're still seeing pretty great rates, you know, 4.25 for a year, maybe 4.65 for six, you know, 3 or 6 months. If you were to stack these CDs on top of each other, it could be a good way to put some money to work without taking a lot of risk. Another way to go would be to look at mutual funds where you have a smaller amount of money here. You could use either an exchange-traded fund or a mutual fund, perhaps in the bond space. Remember, interest rates are high right now. As they start to come down, albeit slower than we expected a year ago, the general trajectory will be down. And as they come down, those bond prices will increase, whether it's treasury bonds or corporate bonds. That could be a way to go. And you get the diversification through the mutual fund. If you want some help with this, our friends at soundmindinvesting.org, Nancy, could be a great resource to you that would allow you to have some recommendations on mutual funds to use as you make those selections. Again, that's soundmindinvesting.org. All right, Javier writes to us, our mortgage has an interest rate of 6.7%. And we have about $75,000 in savings. We're thinking of using a chunk of our savings to either pay down our mortgage or invest. What would be a better use of our savings? Well, mathematically, it's probably, at least over the long term, better to invest those funds rather than paying down your mortgage at 6.7%. Historically, the market does better than that over the long haul, even after you pay some taxes on those capital gains. And so that certainly could be one approach. Now, I will say there is something to be said about that guaranteed return of 6.7% when you pay off the mortgage, which there are no guarantees in the market. So if you were to perhaps have a conviction around being debt-free sooner than later, and you know that you can get that guaranteed 6.7% return, not a bad idea to go ahead and pay down that mortgage. Even if you can't pay it off and eliminate the payment, you're going to save all that interest over the long haul. So perhaps one approach is, after you set aside your emergency savings, maybe you take the portion that's left and divide it between funding a couple of Roth IRAs, and you could even fund 2024 and 2025. So if you're married, you can put in $14,000 for last year, another $14,000 for this year. If you are over age 50, you could put another couple of $1,000s for each of you last year and this year. Because remember, you can fund 2024 up to when you file your 2024 return before April of this year. So perhaps you fully fund 2 years of Roth IRAs for you and your spouse, and then take the rest and pay down the mortgage. Now you kind of have the best of both worlds. You're accelerating the payoff of that mortgage, saving equal to the interest rate there with a guaranteed return, and you're getting some money, a good bit, into a Roth IRA, which is going to grow tax-free for the rest of your, you know, the rest of your life until you need the money, which is a great benefit. So, Javier, hope that's helpful. Thanks for writing to us again. Let me mention, folks, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. Think about this. Inside the app, there is a community of stewards that are sharing best practices, asking questions, encouraging each other on their stewardship journeys, and there's no cost to participate in that. We bring together the best content in biblical finance anywhere in our Learn tab, and then you could also use the money management, the spending plan portion if you want. It's based on Larry Burkett's digital envelope system. It's all in the FaithFi app. Go to faithfi.com and click app. You can download it today. We'll be right back with your questions. Stay with us.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
When you see trash in the media, submit it to 1millionmoms.com. Over the years, 1 million moms and our partners have improved advertising choices of programmers and content seen on TV. Just like you, 1 million moms want to protect little eyes and ears from the trash that could hurt them. So when you see trash in the media, visit 1millionmoms.com. Scroll down and look for the Submit Trash button.
Take it away!
1millionmoms.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. We exist to help our supporters to leave a lasting legacy for years to come. We would love to speak with you regarding your situation to help put in place a lifetime income. while also giving to the ministry of AFA and AFR. You can reach out to us by phone or email at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's go to Evanston, Illinois. Hi, Colleen. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Just got a scary letter from the IRS. I was the executor of my mother's estate, and she had an investment, about $350,000, and by the time we divided it between all of my siblings, we each got about $65,000 apiece. And my sister just got a letter from the IRS that because she didn't pay taxes on the inheritance, that she owes $45,000 in penalties. And I thought an inheritance was not taxable.
Yeah. Yeah. I would get with a CPA to try to explore this a bit further. It could be a mistake. The federal estate tax exemption for 2025, and it wasn't much lower than this for 24, was $13.9 million. What year did she pass away?
2022.
Okay, so it wasn't this high, but it was still very high, and so you know you shouldn't really have estate taxes there. And then from a state standpoint, at least for this year, I don't know what it was in 2022. You know, Illinois estate tax kicks in on estates exceeding $4 million, but there is no inheritance state tax or federal. So that's a little confusing. I mean, there should have been a step up in basis on any assets that were in the estate. And so any capital gains that would be responsible for would be for gain in value from the time you received it as an inheritance till the time you sold it. But I'm a little confused as to why there would be any kind of estate taxes here, unless we're talking about a pretty significant sizable estate. So I would probably reach out to a CPA. Do you have a CPA or did your mom that you could check in with?
No, she did not.
Okay. What about you?
I do not. My taxes are very simple.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think this is the year to do it, just so you can understand, you know, what might be there. In 2022, I believe it was just over $12 million. Was the exempt portion of an estate as far as federal income taxes or federal estate taxes were concerned. And for a married couple, you know, that'd be $24 million. So, you know, I would love for you to dig a little further into this. Don't be surprised if you do uncover the fact that this was an error of some kind. They do happen, but this is one of those times where it's going to be absolutely worth it for you to get a professional involved and just to understand what the IRS is saying. They could even represent you as they follow up and try to get more information and then either get it rectified or if there is something owed, understand why and deal with it. And that could involve a payment plan of some kind, but hopefully it's just an error and you don't have anything at all.
Would a CPA be better than a tax attorney?
I would probably start with the CPA, yeah, because they would be very accustomed to dealing with the IRS, could handle this for you and represent you. They could very easily determine what is owed, if anything, just based on the 2022 estate taxes. And, you know, that would probably be where I would start.
And could you recommend someone?
Yeah, you know what you could do is head to our website, Colleen. It's faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And right there at the top of the page, it says find a professional. And you could look for a certified Kingdom advisor in the tax area. If you don't find one, there's far fewer than those in the financial planning and investment area. Then I would just reach out to any of those CKAs in your area, and you could ask for a referral. They would all have a godly CPA that they work with.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, Colleen. Let us know how this turns out. We'd love to hear from you as you get this resolved. Thanks for being on the program today. Well, I mentioned those electronic questions that come in regularly. We do love to tackle them, and we don't get to them often enough. So let me try to get a couple more in the mix here. This one from Stu. He writes, I'm 63. I have about $220,000 for retirement. Do you think it would be better to finish out my working years contributing to my 401k or a Roth IRA? You know, I would say at this point, you would probably be better off putting money in your 401k, making sure you're maxing out any matching portion of your employer's contributions, and then the 401k itself. Reason being, you're probably at the peak of your earning capability now, and your retirement income is likely to be a lot less. So the idea that you know, you would go ahead and get that tax break now and then pay taxes later when you pull that money out in retirement is not a bad idea. Now, I will say that there was a pretty significant study done. We've referenced it a few times here on this broadcast with regard to looking at retirement plans, given the uncertainties of the future tax code and your retirement earnings, and recognizing that there's some wisdom in having both the pre-tax retirement account growing alongside the after-tax or the Roth flavor. So a lot of people have a 401k, both pre-tax and after-tax versions, and are wondering how should we kind of allocate our contributions among the two. And the study said you take your age, you add the number 20, and that's the percentage that you put in the pre-tax, the traditional version, with the balance into the Roth version. So let's just take an example. If you're 50, you'd add 20 to it. 70% of your salary deferral contribution would go into that pre-tax 401k, 30% into the Roth. Now, if knowing that study was there and that that produced the optimal results for the most people, if you have 100% in your traditional right now, the idea that you'd get some working in that pre-tax environment might not be a bad idea, and that would be you funding that Roth. So I think you could go either way. If you like the idea of not having the required minimum and getting that tax-free growth, and you've still got some time on your side, you plan to work a good bit longer, perhaps go ahead and fund those Roth IRAs. I think that wouldn't be a bad idea at all. Stu, thanks for writing to us. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Imagine having biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox every week, helping you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. At faithfi.com, You can join a community of over 70,000 people who are already receiving our weekly wisdom email, filled with articles, videos, podcasts, and exclusive offers on resources that will deepen your understanding of biblical stewardship. Start your journey today by creating your FaithFi account at faithfi.com. Just click sign up.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. Let's go out to Lancaster, PA, and welcome Lisa. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on and taking my
call. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So my question is one that might touch a lot.
Oh, Lisa, I think we have lost you temporarily, but you're back with us, so go right ahead.
Oh, okay. So I'm a single parent, and, you know, I had to financially start over based on a lot of different circumstances over the last 10 years.
All right.
And my question has been about how to wisely and also semi-aggressively approach either the markets, like the stock market, bonds. I'm not sure whether I should be in 401k or going into Roth IRA. Just really unclear about how I can preserve my financial future and also provide for my child.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Lisa. And listen, I know we go through seasons that can be challenging, and certainly that includes financially speaking. I think the key is we get beyond those and you get to a place where you're at right now where you say, listen, I recognize the importance of putting something aside for the future, and I want to do that in a way that's wise. And that's great. So what we don't want to do is when we're trying to play a little bit of catch up, we don't want to abandon those principles that we know are time tested and find their roots in biblical wisdom. And I'm thinking specifically about Ecclesiastes 11:2, that we want to not put all of our eggs in one basket. And so we don't want to throw caution to the wind and speculate or get into high risk investments with the hope we can, you know, make up some for lost time. We want to still be sure and steady. It's that steady plodding approach that we see in God's word. So the best way to do that is take however much time you have and just let's be, you know, mindful about keeping lifestyle in check so we create more surplus, and then let's be systematic in our investing. Every month, high markets and low markets. When the market's down, we can buy more shares with the same money. When it's high, hopefully we're participating in some of that upside. But I think that's the key. Now, in terms of the where of the investing, we generally say, let's start with a company-sponsored retirement plan, especially if there's some matching available. Do you know if your company has that?
Yes.
Okay, great. And so, like, will they match you a dollar for dollar up to a certain percentage or something?
Yes, I believe, I want to say up to 6%.
Okay, great. So that's going to be the number one place to go, because that's free money. I mean, so if you put in a dollar and they give you a dollar up to 6%, that's 100% return on your money. You're not going to get that anywhere else. So let's take full advantage of that. That's your starting point. So now you put in six, they put in six, all of a sudden you got 12% of your compensation, your pay, going into a retirement plan. That's great. That's amazing. Now, if you have the ability to do more, that's where we could, just for simplicity's sake, just continue putting it in the 401k. The nice thing about the 401k, other than the matching, is it's fairly easy to manage. They're going to give you a menu of investments, and you can pick the one that's most suited for your age and risk tolerance. They probably even have somebody that's a part of that plan that could, you know, help navigate that for you and explain which one, just based on what you're looking for, might be the best for you at your, you know, age and so forth. So I think that would be a great place for you to begin. And then I'd love to send you a book. It's called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. And it's based on biblical truth, but it's all about investing. And I think, to the extent you want to do some reading on this topic and get a little bit more educated on, you know, what you're getting into, I think this book will be a great resource for you. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. You get started in that 401k, stay on the line. We'll get your information here and get that book right out to you. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to, we're going to stay in Pennsylvania. Annette, how can I help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I have a question about my HSA account. I recently turned 62. I've been retired from teaching a few years. And am I able to use my HSA account to pay for my health insurance premium?
No. Generally, HSA funds cannot be used for health insurance premiums. Once you're over 65, though, you know, you can use those funds for anything. Prior to that, you can't. But keep in mind that HSA funds used for Medicare premiums could be subject to income tax. So you're going to want to talk to your CPA or tax professional just to make sure you understand the implications of everything. You can also use, HSA funds for health insurance premiums if you're receiving unemployment benefits. The only other allowed uses are for long-term care insurance premiums and what's called COBRA coverage. But if you're under 65 and you don't have one of these, exceptions here that I'm describing, generally speaking, you cannot use them for health insurance premiums.
So would the health insurance provided by my employer that I continue to receive health insurance benefits from, would that be considered COBRA?
No, that's only the type of coverage that's available to you when you separate from your employment. You can continue your company-sponsored coverage for a period of time. That's the COBRA coverage, but you're still working there, right?
I retired a couple years ago.
Oh, you retired. Okay. And so are you still taking the advantage of the same plan, is that right?
Yes. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So I would just check with your CPA. We just want to make sure we're in compliance with the IRS rules and regs, and whether or not that's a retirement coverage or whether it is deemed COBRA coverage and therefore would be one of those allowable uses. So I would check with your tax professional. Do you normally prepare your own return?
No, I usually use someone to prepare that for me.
Okay. Yeah. So I'd give that person a call, just kind of go over your specific situation and get them to sign off on it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Chicago. Hi, Ruth. How can I help?
Hi. And I'm a senior citizen. I'm over 65, and I've been cheated by my insurance agent. I'm not going to name the company. It's a very well-known company. But there was a time 5 to 6 years ago, within 1 year period, while I was totally standing still, not moving, two other vehicles crashed into me. So first one sideswiped me because he was trying to move when the traffic wasn't moving. It was like a parking lot. And he tried to get around my left and messed up the left side of my car. The next time I was stopped at a light and somebody crashed into me. So do we have to wait for the next thing
You sound like you listen regularly. You are ready for that music, and you know what that means. It does, but I would love to help you navigate this because it sounds like your insurance company's raising your premium for an accident where you were not at fault. And so there are steps, just kind of generally speaking, of course, they vary by insurance company, that you can take to challenge that increase and hopefully resolve it. But we'll talk about that right around the corner. So, yeah, Ruth. You stay right there, and we'll take this quick break and then come right back to you. And then we'll hopefully get to a few more questions today here in our final segment. Back with much more on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never change. On Christ in Prophecy, we'll examine the signs of the times and consider what's really happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. To hear more biblical hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio, and find out what's really going on in the world.
You know, most news outlets today don't just deliver information. They try to make us believe wrong is right and evil is good. Not American Family News. You know you'll get accurate information from a Christian perspective because, let's face it, God's Word is the real measure of truth and morality. Any impact on us and our families won't be hidden. Get your news from the source more and more people are choosing as their go-to. American Family News, on the air and online at AFN.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in our final segment, we're taking your calls and questions. We'll get to as many of those as we can. Before the break, we were talking to Ruth in Chicago. She had two cars at two different times crash into hers. In both cases, she says she was not at fault. She was actually not even moving at the time. And the insurance company has raised her insurance premium. And she says, and we'll talk about this, labeled her as at fault for both accidents and wanting to know what to do. Ruth, did I capture that correctly?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I think the first issue is, and it sounds like you may have already done this, but let's just go through this. You want a pretty detailed explanation for that premium increase and confirm whether the increase is related to the accident or other factors. So like just a general rate adjustment or claims history. And then you want to verify what's called the fault determination. So ensure that if you haven't already, that the insurance company has recorded fault and whether they, you know, recorded that correctly, because mistakes can happen and correcting that may resolve the issue. Now, if they have it incorrect, then you, of course, want to get the documentation to prove you were not at fault. That could be a police report or an accident report showing the other driver was at fault, if that exists. You know, statements from the adjuster or photographs, you know, evidence, that type of thing. And then you could dispute the premium increase. I'd start with your insurance agent and just ask them to review the file and politely but firmly explain that you were not at fault and you believe the premium increase is unjustified. You could escalate that to a supervisor. There's probably even a formal complaint process. Now, some states have laws preventing insurers from raising premiums for accidents where you were not at fault. Illinois is not one of those. And so you just need to kind of work those normal channels inside that insurer and try to get to the right person and department that, you know, could take a look at this. And after you file the formal complaint, and hopefully that internal process for disputes will come out in your favor. Obviously, if it doesn't, then that might be the time for you to shop for new insurance or, you know, something like that. But I think those are your next steps for any, at least, that you haven't taken already.
Okay, but here's the problem, too.
Okay.
I have shopped for other insurance. However, even though my insurance company did not pay a penny on either accident because the other party was at fault, they reported me to some central agency that all insurance companies connect with. They reported me as being the guilty party, as being at fault.
Yeah.
And so anytime when I've tried to shop for other insurance, it's excessively high.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if something was reported incorrectly, I think that's where you have a case here. I mean, at the end of the day, the insurance company can pretty much do what they want. They can raise your premium even if you were not at fault for either accident. They may, you know, in their own internal processes, view you as a higher risk for some reason. But if they are reporting you either internally or externally or both, with the improper fault determination, that might be where you'd have a case, you know, to, again, file a complaint, try to get them to, you know, change that internally. And if you believe your insurer's acting unfairly, you could, of course, as a next level of defense, file a complaint with your state's insurance commissioner, and they can investigate and mediate the dispute. And that would be really where you would go from here.
Oh, so there is an insurance investigator.
Well, it's the state insurance regulator, and they oversee the insurance companies and could act on it. You know, I mean, you're going to find varying degrees depending on the state of willingness to engage with you and take action on a timely basis. But they are the place to go if you feel like you're not being treated fairly.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate your program. God bless you.
Thank you, Ruth, and you as well. To Lakeland, Florida. Hi, Linda. How can I help?
Hi. I have a property that my parents lived on. It was an adjacent to mine, but it was a separate property. So at any rate, I sold it, but I'm holding the mortgage on it for myself. In other words, they're paying me so much a month for it. Do I have to pay income tax?
Well, you would. Go ahead.
I mean, or what is that? Not inheritance tax.
Yeah, you're talking about capital gains tax?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. If you sell a property that was not your principal residence, you will have capital gains tax depending upon your income, and which is going to include the gain that you have. So how much gain did you have on this property when you take the selling price minus the original purchase price and any improvements and expenses?
About $50,000.
Okay. Yeah, so you would just need to look at the long-term capital gains rate, and, you know, you would determine whether you're at 0, 15, or 20%. And then, you know, keep in mind that you holding the mortgage, you know, is going to result in you having to pay, you know, tax as well. And so I would probably get a CPA involved in this just to calculate, you know, any capital gain that would be due, given this wasn't your principal residence, and then income taxes on this income that you now have moving forward.
So it would be both capital gains and income tax?
Well, capital gains on the sale of the asset that's appreciated, and then income tax on the interest that you're receiving on the mortgage.
Oh, okay. Oh, the interest,
yes.
I receive on the mortgage would be very little.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm only on Social Security, so I don't have that much money.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be fairly low. It could be nothing at all if you're under that threshold for a single person. But when you add it all together, it perhaps could trip you up or tip up into the 15% long-term capital gains rate. But you'll just want to check with your CPA to get all of that worked out. Linda, thanks for your call. I hope that helps you. We appreciate you being on the program today. Washington State's where we're headed next. Hi, Ethan. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all you do.
Yes, sir.
I am, long story short, I'm a rancher. 31. I have, you know, no investments, don't know
you know, kind of much about it. So in the ag business, not a lot of them do like 401k company, you know, kind of anything like that. So I'm just kind of curious on maybe where to start to start up. I don't know if there's a difference of 401 or a Roth IRA, kind of just kind of anything like that.
Yeah, very good. So you've got a couple of options there. I mean, are you considered self-employed?
No, I work for a rancher.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you've got a couple of options. I mean, certainly the IRA is a great starting point. If you're over the age of 50, you could put in, you know, $8,000. If you're married, you could double that. And you can contribute for 2024 as well as 2025 if you haven't filed your 24 return yet. So you could, you know, put in twice the amount and contribute for 2 years at once. That'd be a great beginning point. I mean, there are options for self-employed individuals, but that doesn't apply here because you're a W-2 employee. So beyond that, you could look at a health savings account as one option to save for retirement, where you're essentially, you know, if you're healthy and you're not spending a lot on medical expenses, you could get a high deductible health plan and then, you know, max out that health savings account and then keep that. And then after age 65, there's some advantages on how you could use that money. You could look at, you know, farm specific programs, if any of those apply. You could look at an insurance product like an annuity. Would be one option for you to get some tax deferral you know, get money, you know, growing for the future that you could take advantage of down the road. And then you could just put money into a taxable account as well. And even though you're going to have to pay capital gains along the way, you know, could still get a money growing for you in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. You'd have ultimate flexibility on that because it's outside of a retirement plan. Even though you would have the drain of the taxes on it, you know, you would have complete flexibility as to how you used it in the future. But I think starting with the the Roth or traditional IRA, and then perhaps the HSA if that applies, and then either an annuity product or a taxable investment account are probably your best options.
Okay, perfect. I guess my only other question, sorry, I'm trying to take notes. So would there be like a good book or a website to start and kind of like, you know, learn more rather than kind of try to remember my notes, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Let me send you one just as our gift to you. It's the book that I gave out earlier, but we'll send one to you as well, Ethan. It's called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. And it's a great kind of primer on this topic of investing, but through the lens of biblical principles. I think it'll get you well on your way to understanding investing in stocks and bonds and the various types of accounts that are available to you. And then I think as you... Once you finish that, soundmindinvesting.org would be another place for some great research.
Perfect. Thank you much. And all right. Thank you, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, Ethan. I appreciate you as well. Thanks for calling into the program today. If we can serve you with anything in the future, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Always fun and enjoyable to be on with you and help you think about how you manage God's money. You know, when it comes to investing, here's the thing. You know, we're hearing a lot right now about what's going on in the crypto space and Bitcoin and these high-flying, you know, crypto memes. And, you know, we've got all these speculative type investments, and they can have some allure to them because we hear about this overnight wealth that's created. Let's not fall for that. Now, there might be a place for some Bitcoin in that more speculative portion of your portfolio, maybe 10%. Maybe you take a sliver into Bitcoin, or maybe a sliver of the 5 to 10% that you would normally put into gold. But your serious money needs to be sure and steady. The Bible calls it steady plodding. We need to be diversified. We need to have unity with our spouse. We need to have a long time horizon. And we need to ultimately understand that God is our provider, not anyone or anything else. So with that, let me say thanks. Thankful for Sandy and Taylor and Devin. Everybody here at FaithFi certainly couldn't do this without them and without each of you listening and calling. So thanks for being a part of the broadcast today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.